Welcome, great patriotic friends, to February 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Still don't have my YouTube channel up yet. I've been up to my eyeballs with life, just like the rest of you. You know, running a real estate business with my lovely wife, Teresa, and dealing with my eyesight, which dwindled considerably in the last couple of years since my aorta collapsed. Long story if you haven't already heard it, but basically I survived. Thank goodness, and the doctors were able to stitch me up. But in the meantime, I'm working with a low vision specialist as well as the vocational trainers that come from the Department of Rehab. So in other words, I'm kind of busy doing other things, including a lot of dog sitting too. So I apologize for reruns in the meantime, but I am filming new content, which you will be able to see once I do get the YouTube channel up. For now, the show is officially called Doom's Electric Chair. Oops, never mind, that's my old metal channel. Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson, and I want to change it to Joe's Patriotic Freedom something or another. I don't know what yet, but I have gotten a lot of good feedback from some of you, so keep it coming, and thanks for that. Of course, in order to really facilitate the name change, I'll have to register it with my host provider and get a new URL and all that good stuff. So it will take some work on my end. Thanks for your patience. And thanks for being a great patriotic American. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's headline. Well, it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mommy. And thanks for being so great and wonderful to me for all these years. And I don't doubt some days were easier than others. Today is also President Reagan's birthday, so I hope you have a few minutes handy because I'm going to want to spend a lot of time talking about him. He is one of our most important presidents, and this will likely take up the entire show. All right, so now let's do this. Happy birthday, Mommy. Today is my mom, Eleanor's birthday. And truly a great, wonderful mom, the best anyone could ever ask. Thanks for the great life, Mom. 1911. Happy birthday, Ronald Rawhide the Gipper Reagan, number 40. Born to Nellie and Jack Reagan in Tampico, Illinois on February 6, 1911, Ronald was nicknamed Dutch as a baby when Jack commented he looked like a little fat Dutchman. Jack was a shoe salesman, and although he was a charismatic one, he was also unemployed often, and the Reagans moved to various towns throughout Illinois, finally settling in Dixon, where Ronald graduated from high school. Though the family didn't have much money, Ronald had fond memories of Nellie given away generously to charities. During summers, Dutch worked long hours as a lifeguard and saved 77 lives. He attended Eureka College on an athletic scholarship, playing football, but was only an average student. He's only one of three presidents who majored in economics besides George W. Bush and Gerald Ford. He was also involved in school plays, which eventually became a career for him. Dutch graduated from college in 1932 at a time when a quarter of America's population was unemployed and found work as a sports announcer for the Chicago Cubs in Des Moines, Iowa. In 1937, Reagan accompanied the Cubs to Southern California for spring training when a friend of his arranged a screen test with Warner Brothers. Reagan got the contract in Hollywood and spent the next couple decades appearing in 53 films. One of his most famous roles was the part of Notre Dame football player George Gipp in the 1940 film Newt Rockne, All-American. It was this movie where he had the famous line, "Win one for the Gipper." During World War II, Reagan was disqualified service in combat due to his poor eyesight, so he spent his military career making training films. He married Jane Wyman, and they had two children together, one daughter and one adopted son. Ronald and Jane divorced in 1948, becoming the only divorced president up until Donald Trump. The Gipper became the president of the Screen Actors Guild for a number of years, and met Nancy Davis, who was mistakenly blacklisted from Hollywood for being a communist sympathizer. The two married in 1952 and had two children, Patricia Ann and Ronald. Reagan's acting career reached a plateau, and at one point in 1954 became a stand-up comic for a very brief time, like a couple weeks, I think. Good thing he didn't quit his day job. As president of the SAG, Reagan became involved in issues with communism in the movie industry and hosted a weekly television drama called General Electric Theater, where he toured the country as a public relations representative for GE. Through these actions, the Gipper's political stance switched from liberal to conservative as he criticized too much government control and wasteful spending. On October 27, 1964, the Gipper entered the national political spotlight by delivering a speech in favor of Republican Barry Goldwater. Though Reagan's speech on government conservatism was well received, Goldwater lost the election in a landslide. In 1966, through Nancy's support, Ronald was elected governor of California, where he served two terms. From there, ran unsuccessfully for president of the United States in 1968 and 1976. But then, in 1980, the Gipper won the big one, defeating incumbent President Jimmy Carter 489 to 49 in electoral votes. Jellybean Man Reagan was the oldest president at age 69 to take the presidential office, up until Donald Trump. Reagan famously said in his inaugural speech, "In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem." And 2 months later, the Gipper became the only president in history to survive an assassination attempt. John Hinckley Jr., a madman who is trying to impress actress Jodie Foster, shot the president and the bullet pierced Reagan's lung, barely missing his heart. Ronnie told Nancy, "Honey, I forgot to duck." True story. In fact, he also told his doctors, "I hope you're all Republicans." And Dutch Reagan would not be denied and went back to work within a few weeks. In domestic policies, Reagan used his political savvy with Congress, implementing tax cuts to stimulate economic growth, curbed inflation, increased military spending, trimmed down certain social programs and measures that deregulated business. By 1983, America was on the road to recovery, though Reagan was criticized that the deficit was increasing, which negatively affected the middle class and poor, even though millions of low-income people were exempt from paying income tax. But anyway, that's a debate for another time. Meanwhile, back at the White House, Reagan loved jelly beans, wore a hearing aid, signed legislation that made Martin Luther King's birthday a federal holiday, was twice named Man of the Year by Time magazine, and loved to ride horses on his ranch. He was also the first president to appoint a woman to the Supreme Court. That would be Sandra Day O'Connor. He also referred to the Soviet Union as an evil empire, which brings us to Reagan's foreign policies. Using peace through strength, the Reagan Doctrine provided aid to anti-communist countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. In 1983, he introduced the Strategic Defensive Initiative, or Star Wars, to try to develop weapons in outer space for the purposes of destroying any incoming nuclear missiles from the Soviet Union. After Libyans attacked a nightclub in West Berlin, as well as a marine base in Beirut, which killed 241 American soldiers, Reagan sent U.S. bombers to Libya to send a message to their leader, Muammar Gaddafi. While the Iran-Iraq war raged on, Reagan sent naval escorts to the Persian Gulf to maintain the free flow of oil. In Grenada, which is an island in the Caribbean, Reagan sent troops to unrest a Marxist revolution. And then came the presidential election of 1984. Walter Mondale debated the great communicator and challenged him on his old age. But the Gipper would come out swinging, closing the final debate by saying, "I will not make age an issue in this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience." Reagan destroyed Mondale, carrying 49 out of 50 states, and received a number 525 electoral votes. 3.5 tons of jelly beans were sent to the White House in honor of his favorite sugary snack. But when the American public found out that an arms for hostage deal was made with Iran to funnel money towards anti-communist rebels in Nicaragua in an attempt to free hostages held by Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Teflon president's reputation was forever tarnished. But only slightly compared to Reagan's skillful ability to handle Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. He negotiated a treaty that would eliminate intermediate-range nuclear missiles. And the Gipper wasn't finished yet. The great communicator went to the Berlin Wall, the ultimate symbol of communism in Germany, and challenged Gorbachev to tear it down. 2 years later, Gorbachev would take Reagan's challenge and allow the people of Berlin to dismantle it, thus reunifying Germany. Reagan himself went to Berlin, armed with a hammer and took away a few chunks for himself just for good measure. When Rawhide Reagan left office, he had the highest approval rating since FDR. Due to his Reagan's revolution, the American people were reinvigorated. This great nation enjoyed its longest recorded period of peacetime prosperity without a recession. Vice President George Bush was elected to take his place, and he shed a tear as Reagan left the White House. Ronnie and Nancy Reagan returned to Los Angeles, and in 1991, the beautiful $57 million Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum opened in Simi Valley. But as time went on, Reagan would forget it all. In 1994, he sent a handwritten letter to the American public that he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And nearly 10 years later, Ronald Reagan died, age 93. He taught America once again to dream heroic dreams. Happy birthday, Ronald. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for February 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you thought about today's show. For instance, did you send my mom a happy birthday card? If you did, aw, how sweet. What about President Reagan? What is your take on him? Love him? Hate him? Why? Why not? So yeah, definitely know what your thoughts are. And be sure to check out some of the multiple choice pages on the website while you're there. By the way, just getting back to Facebook for a second, I wanted to thank some of the people who have liked me on Facebook recently, including Bruce Rippey, Roy Belange Carbonell, Julie Maynor, Rosina Gomez, and as always, Beth Guy. So thanks for listening. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program, McCandless Becomes the First Human to Float Untethered in Space. Plus, I'll talk about Felix the Cat, George W. Bush's faith-based initiative, the plea bargain, and the New Orleans Saints. So don't miss that. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.